you know, after I started the rapid testing, I gave her all the information, you know, where to get them, how, you know, what all our processes were and what I felt like best practices were. So absolutely, you know, it's, I think pharmacy is a small community. I think that we learn from each other and we can just, you know, what is that quote about a high tide lifts all the boats, or rising tide lifts all
rising
the boats?
Rising tide so lifts just, all boats, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So if we just, you know, if we, I mean, because we're not competing with each other. I mean, let's face it, you know, people are spread all over. So, you know, why not help each other?
Welcome to the Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show, where we believe that quality measurement leads to better outcomes. Let us become your go-to source for all things related to quality and medication use in healthcare. We will hit on trending health topics as they relate to performance measurements and find common ground for payers and practitioners. We will discuss how the Equip platform can help you with your performance goals, and we will also make sure to keep you up to date on pharmacy quality news. So buckle up and put your thinking cap on. The Quality Corner Show starts now.
Hello, Quality Corner Show listeners. This is your host, Nick Dorich, and we welcome you to the PQS Quality Corner Show. During February 2021, we focused on cardiovascular disease, heart health, and how pharmacists can contribute to improving patient outcomes. That was a great series focusing on a clinical topic, and our show will go back to a clinical focus for April. But we are now entering March, and we're going to focus on some contemporary issues. And we're also going to celebrate pharmacists and pharmacist success stories and what they do to improve patient care. We really intend for this to be an uplifting month, and we look forward to inundating you with some positivity about the pharmacy profession and patient care. Now, certainly in 2020, some of our most listened to episodes focused on the most recent and up-to-date information about COVID-19, both as an emerging topic, its impact as a novel virus. And for today's episode, we're actually going to circle back to talking about COVID-19, but in a little bit of a different way. Specifically, we will address how pharmacists have been addressing COVID information with their patients, how they are managing testing, and efforts around COVID vaccination. Now, this will be a little bit of a follow-up because back in December, we did include an episode with Dr. Betsy Ellswick to speak about COVID vaccination in long-term care facilities and how West Virginia was not only succeeding, not just leading the United States in percentage of immunizations administered, but how those Mountaineers were leading the world in vaccination rates. So go back, check that one out, hear how they did a great job. But for today, we're going to turn our focus on how community pharmacy will be managing COVID as distribution of COVID vaccines did begin to community pharmacies in February. That now leads us to today's guest, and that is none other than Alice Dillard. Now, Alice is the pharmacy manager and co-owner of Triangle Pharmacy in Durham, North Carolina. Alice, welcome to the Quality Corner Show.
Well, thank you for having me, Nick.
Excellent. Before we begin today's conversation, Alice, I'd love to have a little bit of an introduction from you. So can you provide a little biography, a little background on yourself and the pharmacy that you co-own?
Absolutely. I've lived in North Carolina my entire life. I graduated from UNC more than 30 years ago. My father is also a pharmacist, and he started this business in 1975 and then turned it over to me and my sister in 2011. And even though I had worked here since 1990, I had really no idea what I was doing as far as running a small business. And ours is a little unique. It's got a hardware store, the pharmacy. It started as a pharmacy. We added the hardware. And so it's a really, you know, it's a great combination. The seasons run opposite each other. It gives people things to do, things to look for while they're waiting for their prescriptions. And, you know, it's a lot of, you know, it's funny because it turned out to be two essential businesses. So we did stay open through most of the stay at home and shutdown. I've known I wanted to be a pharmacist since I was in kindergarten. I couldn't spell it, but I wanted to be just like my dad. And we've been here, and we've really served the community here in Southwest Durham for, I guess, now more than 45 years. And so I worked here as a cashier and then through college and as a pharmacist since 1990. You know, I've had the joy of really serving four different generations of people. It's a pretty incredible time for us right now. Things are changing a lot. And I mean, my staff's been incredible about sort of changing with it.
Yeah, absolutely, Allison. I've had the pleasure of being in your pharmacy location a number of times. Full disclosure, Allison and her staff are the ones that give me my annual flu shot. And I know firsthand that they're a pro at vaccinations. We'll get into that topic further here. But before we do, let's go into our format for the show. And Alice, what we're going to do is we're going to cover three questions that I've got written down for us today. I'll go down the list, ask the first question. Alice, you'll get a chance to respond. We may have some back and forth to summarize the key points, and then we're going to repeat that process for the second and third questions. That's going to wrap up our primary content. And then, of course, we do always include a little bit of a fun and exciting closing and summary. But now that we've got that process covered, I'm going to go ahead and jump into question one for today's episode. So first things first, Alice, let's review overall the impact for COVID-19 and the operations for Triangle Pharmacy. You already covered that it has a bit of a unique business model here in South Durham, but you do have a community pharmacy presence. You are dispensing medications and you do provide a number of different patient care services. Since COVID-19 first hit back in March 2020, roughly a year ago, how has this interacted your pharmacy operations? How has this impacted how you work and communicate with the patients in your community?
Well, I think it was really frightening at first for everyone as far as just the uncertainty of what is next. And so we never did close. I know a lot of pharmacies closed their doors and just used drive through. So what we did at first was just limit the number of people that could come in. And then we ended up in masks. We added the plexiglass shields in front of all the cashiers. We tried very hard to make sure that we've been sanitizing, the shopping carts, the surfaces, maintaining our distances. And really, I think we embraced masks more quickly than maybe other businesses did, simply because we're all in healthcare. And at first we did, we figured out really how to do curbside. Our software in the pharmacy, we can do two-way texting, and that picked up a whole lot at that point. So, people would just pull up, text that they're out in the parking lot. We'd ring up their things, and, we were willing to shop for everything that they might need in the whole store, not just picking up their prescriptions, but to, do you need some toothpaste? Do you need some more masks? Do you need some distilled water, whatever it was? And so we were carrying a lot of that out to, out the parking lot. And our delivery business, of course, picked up a lot at that point. We did many, many more curbside vaccines as far as, when we went into flu season. A lot more people were more comfortable having their vaccines out in the parking lot. And then, even in my neighborhood, we ended up, instead of doing it at the clubhouse at the pool, we did it out in the parking lot, just under a tent. And people were great about, waiting, staying spaced out, wearing their masks too. So, and I hate to say this out loud, I'm going to knock on wood, but so far my staff has, we've had no instance of COVID here at either store. So that's been huge.
Absolutely. Alice, I've got a couple of quick questions here as far as the follow-up. And you mentioned some of the, how you're helping patients and more the curbside, more delivery, more two-way texting done in a secure manner that's there. This has all been a reaction to COVID and safety protocols. Do you expect that to continue throughout 2021 and in the future years? I mean, what's that patient experience been like? Have they had a positive remarks to the new ways that you've been helping patients?
Mm-hmm. I think things will never go back to the way they were before. I think people, their expectations are higher. I think so it was crazy. It was completely crazy at the very beginning because also people were afraid that there would be medication shortage, that the supply chain would break and that they wouldn't be able to get their prescription meds. So they, started stocking up at that point. And that really hasn't been the case. Some of the over-the-counter meds, like the Voltaren gel or some of the Excedrins, things like that, we can't get, but we're generally able to get some sort of a substitute for that. But as far as the texting, I believe that will continue. In 2021, our goal was MedSync, and I've, let's see, this is what little past mid-February, and we were able to onboard 125 new patients into our MedSync in January. And then, so our goal is 75 more patients in February. And I think people really like it, you know, that sort of human touch, you know, more high touch where we're calling a week ahead, making sure there's no changes, asking them, you know, do you need anything else to go along with this? We're assigning health coaches, just trying to make sure we're connected. And people are lonely. They're just extremely lonely. And so, you know, we're spending a lot more time just talking on the telephone. Let's face it, if you're at home, you work from home, you know, or you're retired and you haven't been able to see your family, sometimes that conversation with the pharmacist is maybe the only time you've spoken out loud all day. And then they feel like they're safe enough to come out because we're small. So they come, you know, some of them will come in and they just poke around in here just because they're, you know, need a change of scenery.
Yeah, Alice, I remember my days from being in a pharmacy, and you knew those patients that when they came in, they'd chop around, go through the things. But for them, it's as much of a social experience as it is picking up their medications. And that's a great point. My other question I had related to this overall topic where I'm interested in your response, you're having increased communication to patients. Are you seeing and doing more, you know, via signage in the store? Is there more your team is doing kind of with social media promoting some of the different services? Or is this something where you're just contacting, you know, patient Joe Smith to say, Joe, let's get you on MedSync. This is what it is, et cetera. What's that communication plan like?
A lot of our patients were already synced up and so it was instead, you know, say Mr. Morris comes in and he has 8 prescriptions every month. And so we didn't typically have him enrolled in MedSync, but what we did, they were already all together. So we would just, so now we're just adding that, you know, enrolling them and then just adding that phone call a week ahead. So it's that's, you know, so I don't know. I mean, a lot of them may not even know they're enrolled in MedSync, but it's helping us to predict when they'll need things. It's helping us to check in with them on, you know, what are their numbers? Have you had your COVID vaccine? You know, are you due for any other vaccines? And I think they like it. I just think they like the connection. And you know, I don't necessarily think we're explaining it as this is MedSync, because I think patients don't understand what is MedSync. But for us, it really is helping us for predicting. You know, this is the work we're going to do today. This is what we need to have ordered in. This, you know, we're a little bit ahead of the game just because the software helps us in that way.
Thanks, Alice. Yeah, the benefit with MedSync, I've always understood it to be as much of a benefit for pharmacy inventory control and planning for when you're going to be dispensing prescriptions to the patient. There's certainly a part where it helps, but it can't help. But many patients may be doing a pretty good job on that already. But just from your own internal purpose, it sounds like it's great. I do want to now start into our second question, and we're going to pivot towards specifically COVID management. With your pharmacy, are you actively doing, have you been managing COVID testing for patients? There's been a number of ways that pharmacies can support COVID testing, and I anticipate you've been involved, your pharmacy's involved and been in some way, shape, or form. Were there methods for COVID testing that your team looked at and said, no, that's not appropriate or applicable for our type of business? What have you found to work, and how have patients responded to the COVID testing services that have been available?
Well, we had to apply for a CLIA waiver, and we did that months and months and months ago, just assuming that we would be able to get involved in point of care testing. And another pharmacist brought it to my attention that he was going to do the PCR testing. And we were a little hesitant to do any nasal swabs, and you know, with the exposure and just you know, trying to suss that out, figure out what would work. So he was really sort of the pilot. There's a local lab in Wake Forest. We met with them after our friend in Raleigh had worked out all the workflow with regards to it and figured out exactly how to do it. But, you know, so what we did was instead of the nasal swab PCR test, we do a saliva PCR test where you're basically spitting in a little funnel tube and then you close the tube. It's just a milliliter of saliva and then shake it. There's a stabilizer in there. You shake it gently. We were making sure our patients were connected with the lab because that's how they get their results. FedEx comes every day at 4:00. So it took us, I don't know, we started this, I think, around Halloween. really before Thanksgiving and before Christmas, it was enormous. So people could test, make sure that they were healthy, and, you know, show their family members. I got a test yesterday. We've been isolated, and so this has been phenomenal for us. I think we've done a little over 400, maybe close to 500 tests. Everything's performed out in the parking lot, dropped into a, you know, labeled, dropped into a biohazard bag, and then FedEx picks it up, it takes it, and then the patient's notified by text or email. So that was our first foray into point-of-care testing. Then we started doing rapid testing about 3 weeks ago, I guess. And so with the rapid testing, it's a nasal swab, but the what we do is masks, gloves, face shield, and we go outside. You know, I'll go over the test over the telephone. They stay in their car, and then we go out and observe them do their nasal swab. You know, talk to them about you've got to lean your head back, you've got to go in at least an inch. It has to be get to the point where it's uncomfortable, and they swab their nose 5 times in a circle. Then we come inside and we run the rapid test, and then we call them. We scan, you know, scan the results into their chart, and we report it to the state every day at the end of the day. And then if they're positive, there's a whole lot more reporting that goes on with that. But we try to give them information on what to do next. So we've done about 50 or 60 of those in the last 3 weeks. And, you know, I think we all want to know right away, but, you know, the PCR test is more accurate.
What are you seeing as far as that kind of time for when the test is done to when the results get there? And I do want to ask as well, because from your team, you're probably not handling any of the communication to the patient at that point, right? It's all the lab that's communicating directly to the patient. Do I understand that correctly?
With the PCR, the PCR is the lab communicates directly with the patient. With the rapid, we take care of it.
Gotcha. Alice, I'll say as well, the point, and you referenced here about the testing, it's one of the advantages, I think, with pharmacy organizations and pharmacy partners. You had mentioned that you had another pharmacist you knew in Raleigh that was doing testing previously, and you kind of learned from that experience. Have there been any other examples or ways that you've shared your experiences with other pharmacies that were, you know, maybe looking to get into testing? Because I think the information sharing really becomes important so that more folks start to normalize this as a pharmacy service. So have you had any interesting experience with sharing other pharmacy stories about this?
Oh, absolutely. I connected. I'm on the board of directors at our local wholesaler. So when I went and met there, I was so excited about the fact that we were able to have success with the PCR testing and that, you know, what the steps were to help the patient make their appointment on our website and, you know, the different information that we were able to get out. So I went over that with everybody on the board. I think there at that point were a dozen of us, and a handful of them, I connected them with the lab. A handful of them started doing that. One of my girlfriends in Salisbury, she owns a medicine shop, same as me, taking over her father's business. They started doing the PCR testing. Then she actually got COVID and went to a Moose pharmacy there and got rapid tested. And, you know, after I started the rapid testing, I gave her all the information, you know, where to get them, how, you know, what all our processes were and what I felt like best practices were. So absolutely, you know, I think pharmacy is a small community. I think that we learn from each other, and we can just, you know, what is that quote about a high tide lifts all the boats, or rising tide lifts all
rising
the boats?
Rising tide so if we lifts just, all boats. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So if we just, you know, if we, I mean, because we're not competing with each other. I mean, let's face it, you know, people are spread all over. So, you know, why not help each other?
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, Alice, your pharmacy had not been involved with CLIA Wave testing and some of those other, you know, types of services. But as you learn from other groups and as you've had the experience, you're doing more and more with it. And that will likely have an impact, I would expect, beyond just COVID testing in future years now that your team has had hands-on experience. So that's great to hear. And that only further goes to show how a community pharmacy can be a healthcare destination for patients in the community, which is really fantastic. We'll now move to our third and final question on our primary topic. And that, of course, is moving to COVID vaccinations. Alice, has your team been involved thus far? What's that process like? Did you have to have to go through application after application. Did it involve the state? Did it involve the federal government, et cetera? Would really love to hear how your experience so far and how you're planning to promote this with your local community.
Oh, absolutely. So we are approved on the federal pathway through CPESN and have not gotten any vaccine through that. But we did go through the 21 requirements that the CDC asks us to go through. We all did several pieces of continuing education. We've had to attest all these things. The process has included getting on Vaccine Finder, where people can find the vaccines when they're here. We've had to get on VPOP, which is the point of purchase, so they can track, you know, what vaccines you're getting. We've had to, you know, we've added the freezer. We've added the digital data logger, which communicates with our computer, so we know that our freezer is always at their correct temperature. We've all, thankfully, been COVID vaccinated through the Durham County Health Department. So in doing that, we were able to make connections there and meet the Durham County, the health director and a handful of people that work down there. We're also approved on the state pathway through CVMS for North Carolina. And we were supposed to have gotten 50 doses from the health department given to us this week. So I picked up the phone on Tuesday. I made 151 phone calls. I was able to book 30 people for Thursday. And then the shipment was delayed. So I had to call these 30 people back and, you know, push it off till next week. So apparently weather has affected everybody's shipments of COVID vaccine. But the Durham County Health Department's been fantastic to work with. And I feel like we're going to be able to get out in the community and just do a great job with this. So this week, we're limited to people who are 65 and older or healthcare workers who are facing patients. The next week on February 24th, that will expand out to teachers. So I've had a private school reach out to me and, you know, I told them the information that I'll need and how we'll have to onboard their patients and, you know, do the different questionnaires and things. And so if I can get vaccine, I'll go and do the school. We have a teacher list. We have, and then March 10th, we'll move into group 3, which will be all the frontline workers. So grocery store workers, anyone in retail, people who work with the public. So, you know, once the vaccine supply gets to us, I think that it's going to be just amazing. And the community's been incredible. I've had so many neighbors and customers volunteer to, you know, direct traffic, hand out paperwork, just, you know, whatever they need. You know, I'll need people who do that 15-minute timer with people, make sure they're okay, you know, offer them a water, things like that. Just, you know, sort of traffic management or logistics-wise. I've had a lady who got laid off, and she said, you know, I'm happy to not only work the day of the clinic, but I'm happy to come and do all the, you know, onboarding, whatever you need me to do, the paperwork, the, you know, the different things that with the websites that we've got to upload. I thought that was really nice. I mean, just volunteers. I've had pharmacists who don't work in community pharmacy volunteer. You know, I think it's wonderful. Like out of those 151 people, 120 of them had already been vaccinated. So people want the vaccine and we're almost there, I think, as far as getting it out. So I think over the next probably 6 months to a year, it's going to be big. And, you know, I was afraid at the beginning that maybe people would be afraid to get the vaccine, but that's not true at all. Out of all those people, one lady said she was on a wait and see for the vaccine.
Not too bad as far as those numbers. And Alice, thanks for sharing all of those details. And it speaks one, I think, to the community which you serve. You're talking about forging relationships with your local state health departments. That's there. That's going to, again, have long-term benefits. Really shows the value of the community pharmacy. And the fact that so many folks are coming to you looking to do more, you know, really exciting opportunity. And it's still important that we're sharing all those success stories. And I'm sure you're talking with your patients as well on, hey, when you get the vaccine, make sure to talk and normalize the experience A lot of folks have shared their experiences, particularly with the second dose of the vaccine, where a lot of the information has said that the reaction to that second vaccine may be more severe, fever, chills, et cetera. That's there, making sure that people understand why that's occurring. That's an important clinical conversation for the pharmacist to have with the patients, and for non-clinical folks and for everybody in the general public to be talking about what they can expect with that. So a lot of great information, Alice, and really appreciate what you're doing for your community there. Well, Alice, I will now, that'll wrap up our primary conversation for today. And we now get to move to our discussion that gets to be a little bit more fun. Again, thank you for all the information on COVID. You mentioned that you've been a leader with your drug wholesaler. I know you're also a leader with the local pharmacy association. So you're very active. I know you take students locally from UNC and I believe some other pharmacy programs. So you're very active in the pharmacy profession. I know there's some other things in life that keep you very active at all times, including a new puppy that you're going to be bringing home in just a few weeks. You and I have a shared affinity for Shetland sheepdogs or Shelties, which is really exciting. But what I'd like to have you talk about here, as someone that is so invested in training and management and just helping people, or in some cases, dogs, get better, what really drives you? What have you found to be a real, you know, reason for success with training? And why do you think it's so important to help bring up, you know, the next pharmacist in the profession? Why do you think it's so important to bring up those in your local community? And I'd love to just hear your thoughts on this, knowing your high level of engagement.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a preceptor with UNC for about 25 years. I think I've been a preceptor with Campbell for maybe 20 years. And honestly, through COVID, my students are still wanting to come and have that face-to-face experience. They want to be part of taking care of people. I mean, I can't imagine what a remote rotation would be like. But one of my professors, after I graduated, we were back for some alumni something, and he said, I want to encourage all of you to become preceptors and think about it this way. You're really responsible for 25% of that new pharmacist's education. And it's true. You have your 3 years of classwork, and then you have your 1 year professional experience program. And you're learning, you know, probably as much what you don't want to do as what you do want to do. So for me here, I just think it's great to have them. You know, I've scrambled and reached out to the schools several times. I didn't have any students September, October, November, December assigned to me. And I just reached out to the school and I said, our business is at a level that we can't keep up. And I said, I need students. And they were able to accommodate me with people who, you know, got, like, suppose their sites shut down because of COVID, or the places they were supposed to go were no longer taking students, you know, because of the virus or whatever it was. But they were able to reassign and send me a student every single month. This next month that we're actually able to give COVID vaccine, they've offered me two students. And I'm just thrilled with it. I don't know that I'm such a great teacher, but I try to be really, really open about what's going on in small business and in community. And I feel like even if this is not what you want to do as a pharmacist later in life, I think looking at a community experience and realizing what it can be, I think it's great. So, you know, like I say, I'm not a very good teacher, but I will talk about anything. I will tell them about, every bit of the numbers that are going on in the background. And then my staff, however, I think they are great teachers. I have one foreign graduate pharmacist who's my technician, and she's just on point all the time, brilliant. And she has added so much as far as just keeping us organized, keeping everything. I can't give her enough praise. And the two pharmacists I work with are just completely different than I am, different perspective, different personalities, but they're great teachers. You know, we just like to, you know, quiz each other. And the students, I think they keep us young. I think that they're coming from all sorts of different, from the specific cardiology rotations or infectious disease rotations or different things. And so as much as I feel like we teach them, I feel like they're teaching us. And, you know, keeping us current. And it's just, it's really a good situation. I think it makes us all feel happy to have students.
Couldn't agree more, Alice. Appreciate that. And I would note the most important thing about a good teacher is the willingness to teach. So you've already got that covered between you and your other pharmacy staff members. So that's fantastic. And before we close as well, I would also like to note for everybody that's listening to this podcast, between myself and Alice, you've heard different pronunciations of the city of Durham, North Carolina. Alice's is the correct pronunciation if you're a local. So refer to her to how she says Durham. That's there. I'm sure that's how you're saying it with all of the local folks that do come into your pharmacy, Alice. Final question for you. And if folks want to hear about your experience, because maybe they're interested in doing COVID testing or COVID vaccinations, and you've already talked about sharing, or maybe they're a pharmacy in North Carolina wants to learn more about the work you've done with other local groups. Do you have a preferred way that folks can reach out to you if they have questions?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Email is probably best. I'm a terrible phone manager. I never have it with me, but yeah, my email is alicedillard123@gmail.com. So it's super simple. And if they want to drop me a note, we can schedule a time to talk on the telephone. That'd be awesome.
Excellent. Well, Alice, really appreciate you joining our show today. Really means a lot to have one of our local community pharmacy leaders involved in talking about their experience with COVID. There certainly have been a lot of ups and downs, and it's great to hear from a frontline pharmacist, from a pharmacy owner, and how they've been working through that. So one, thank you for joining the show, but two, thank you for being a leader in the community, and thank you for being a leader for these public health efforts. So like Alice, many pharmacists have shifted their operations and have changed how they work through patient outreach in 2020 and even into 2021 because of the impact from COVID. Alice today provided a great overview of how one particular pharmacy has adjusted and how they've continued to thrive despite this disruption. If you've got stories that are similar, we would love to hear them. And we will have future stories about pharmacy success. So please join us for that ride. As part of the quality improvement process, it is always important to learn and to share what makes for a successful operation. So who knows, maybe we will have the opportunity to have you, our listener, on the show talking about your success and what your pharmacy has done that's gone above and beyond. If you do have a pharmacy success story that you would like to share, please contact us at info@pharmacyquality.com, or you can message us through LinkedIn or our Twitter profile. But with that, we are going to close for today's episode, and I again appreciate you listening to the Quality Corner Show. There is one final message from the PQS team.
The Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show has a request for you. Our goal is to spread the word about how quality measurement can help improve health outcomes, and we need your help in sharing this podcast to friends and colleagues in the healthcare industry. We also want you to provide feedback, ask us questions, and suggest health topics you'd like to see covered. If you are a health expert and you want to contribute to the show or even talk on the show, please contact us. You can email info@pharmacyquality.com. Let us know what is on your mind, what we can address, so that you are fully informed. We want you to be able to provide the best care for your patients and members, and we wish all of you listeners out there well.